Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your republic, if you can keep it, and you can keep it by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, following the instructions. You can use a credit card, you can send a check, you can do the business over the phone, you can do it. And that's how. Go to nationalbugle.com. You will see articles that we talk about up here on this show, and you'll also see the co-certified link. It's at the top now, where it should be. And it should be at the top of your list of things to do this year, because you want to go non-kosher certified. All right, here we go. So this is day... What was day one of the... This is the second full day of the Biden cabinet. Biden has not been president, fake president, for even 48 hours yet, as I record this. So we're still just trying to decipher things. Now, if you're sparring with somebody, I mean, one strategy is the moment the bell sounds to just hit them with something without giving them a chance to think. And that's what they did to Trump. Now, they had Trump all sized up. And the moment the bell rang, boom, they were out there. Like, was it day one, day two, that the FBI went and visited General Flynn? Who, by the way, maybe, I don't know what he would have been like. But they wanted to take him out, and they took him out. They visited him on day one and entrapped him in some little stupid process crime. And he was gone within 2 weeks, as I recall. It was 15, 16 days, but he was gone. Early February, I think he was gone. And then, of course, they used that to push the Russia hoax. And as soon as they got Rod Rosenstein in there as Deputy Attorney General, they just pushed the Mueller thing. So that's what they did. Another way, if you're sparring somebody, another way to handle this is you feel the other fighter out for a while. So you just kind of, do a little bit of footwork and you're moving around the ring and just seeing what they've got. And I think that's the situation we're in right now. We need to see what they've got, see what they're going to do to us. Everything, you see, one thing is that earlier this month, there was the Occupy Congress event, and they've used that as a pretext for all sorts of things. And how is it going to play out? How are things playing out? There was a faked presidential election, and there's widespread, whether it's majoritarian, but there is widespread understanding that the election was faked. And, you know, how are people going to respond to that? The hypocrisy is rank in terms of, after having had massive violence, political violence last year over George Floyd and racial injustice, and having black rioters and looters just destroy cities, destroy big hunks of cities last year, after the pretty marginal violence at the Capitol, to all of a sudden have people talking out in the open. When I say people, I don't just mean like talking heads in the media, but I mean like generals. You know, I'm not sure. I don't have a list of who's using this term yet, but members of Congress, generals, talking about white terror. They're saying white terror. They've even dropped the term, like, you know, extremist or supremacist. It's just white terror. And how is this striking people? And I think we need a few days, a week or two, whatever, to see the lay of the land, see how people are going to respond to things. But yeah, they've come up with, and of course, Biden has picked a team. And what are we to make of the cabinet he's picked? And I was looking at a French website, news site, France 24, and they were listing the names of the people in the Biden cabinet, the heads of the departments. You know, and they'd go through and they'd talk about, so-and-so, General Austin, what's his name? He's going to be the first black Secretary of Defense, and then somebody else is the first American Indian Secretary of Interior, and, you know, they go on and on with all this identity stuff. But, you know, when they were talking about Secretary of State Blinken, I guess they're not in office yet, but they're going to be confirmed by the Senate pretty soon. But, of course, the Senate also has to spend its time trying Trump, which might put things back by a few days. But at any rate, so when they're talking about Secretary of State Blinken or Secretary of Treasury Yellen or Attorney General Merrick Garland or Homeland Security Secretary Alejandros Mayorkas, and they're all Jews. They didn't mention they're Jews. And this is, there's this big disconnect here that even in an article which is emphasizing the, like, ethnic diversity of the cabinet, they just leave these people in as, like, oh, well, they're, you know, white. By default, they're white. You don't mention they're Jewish, so they're white. And, of course, they're not. They don't mention this stuff. But, so, okay. So here's the thing. We've got this new cabinet coming in. And these Jews that I mentioned, these were all holdovers from Obama. They had major, you know, major jobs under Obama. These are Obama holdouts. So in a way, you look at the Biden administration, and to a large extent, it looks like he's trying to create an Obama third term. That's what it, maybe he thinks he's doing that. I don't know what he thinks. But it has that look. At the same time, especially when you look at not so much the cabinet secretaries, but the next level, you know, people, the undersecretaries or the assistant secretaries, you do have some real bizarros. You could call them radical, but what does that even mean anymore? You got some real bizarre people. So at the Justice Department, is she going to be the head of the Civil Rights Division or something? Some woman, and I don't have her name handy, but, you know, Tucker's talked about her a lot and played interviews when he's had her on the show. And she's, as we know, when she was in Harvard or something as an affirmative action student, she wrote some sort of article or paper about how black people have superpowers from the melanin in this particular part of the brain. You know, just weird stuff. And in his clips, he says, well, don't you think it's more important what people's abilities are rather than the way they look? And she was making the case for no, like, even if you're got a brain surgeon or an airline pilot, we actually have to have diversity. That's more important. So you got this kind of stuff. And then, of course, you got that fat Jewish guy who is a trans woman from Pennsylvania, who was the, I guess, the secretary of destroying people's lives in Pennsylvania. And now he/she/it, whatever pronoun, is going to be an assistant secretary of Health and Human Services because, of course. So you got the radicalism, too. So on the surface, it looks like it could be an Obama third term. But then, of course, you look at the priorities of Joe Biden as shown by what was in his inaugural address, where he's talking about, you know, this threat of white supremacy, and then some of the early executive orders and whatnot. So, got to see how it plays out. And so the thing is, though, the most alarming prospect is this white supremacism, and then just white terror, the new thing. So Muslim, I guess we had Muslim terror before. Did we have Muslim terror? I can't even remember. It was 20 years ago. But now white terror. So they're, well, maybe it's not all white people that are bad. I guess that's what we're getting at. It's not all white people that are bad. But the ones who voted for Trump, which is like two-thirds of them, they're bad. And I guess was it General McChrystal? I mean, this is all happening so fast, it's hard to get everything straight. Either General McChrystal or one of these other generals that's gravitating into the Biden orbit, saying, yeah, the threat, it comes from all of these groups and all, you know, listing libertarians even, which is, I get it's a stretch, but I guess some of the militias have libertarian tendencies or whatever. But at any rate, they're really, really painting white people with a broad brush. And I think they're trying to send the message that white people, you will be painted with this brush unless you jump over and you become a good ally. You know, is that the term they use, good ally? All right, so what do we have to do? One thing is we can't repeat the mistake of 4 years ago or 5 years ago when we let... I think when we let our narrative get out of control, and there were, at the time, like the alt-right had just become a term. Supposedly Richard Spencer invented it, the term, but it, you know, it, I don't know, it was catchy. The term was catchy, and I remember probably 2015, maybe 2016, Andrew Anglin writing a lot of articles saying, well, we should embrace this term and make sure it's not stolen by others, because there was the alt-light. There were people who were, I guess the difference between the alt-right and the alt-light was the alt-right was explicitly ethno-nationalist and called and identified Jewish power, and the alt-light was civic nationalist and avoided discussion of Jewish power. I don't know, maybe that's what the difference was, but the thing is, you had a lot of people who were very, very new at white advocacy or discussion of Jewish power. And Richard Spencer was certainly new. I don't know if he wasn't new at white advocacy, although I think his narratives were not very well developed, frankly. And I don't want to be critical about particular individuals here, so I'm going to not be so. But he was very new to discussion of the Jewish issue because he had never done it. He only embarked on it probably in 2016, and just didn't have the practice. But these issues of white advocacy and discussion of Jewish power, Jewish political power, Jewish social power, economic power, these are very, very difficult and frankly shouldn't be left to amateurs. But they were. They really were left to amateurs. And you had all these young people, okay, I'll tell you one thing. Young people, you hear people talk about boomers a lot, and there are problems that boomers have, and that's for sure. The young people who started talking about these issues tended to be reckless, and so the problem with these two issues, and I'm saying two, right? So you've got white advocacy and Jewish power, and Jewish power is the third rail. You have to be careful, because if you're not careful, if you don't have narratives and definitions that when you're saying things, if you don't have these like definitions, if you're not clear about what you're saying and what you're meaning, then these will be twisted and distorted. So, for instance, there was the term ethnostate that was used a lot. People were always talking, the young people, it wasn't the old people, this was not a term boomers used or even understood. The younger people, because this was people you know, I guess on TRS, a lot of younger people were using this term ethnostate. We need an ethnostate without a definition. Without, and if you don't have an agreed on definition, then it means whatever people think it means, and therefore can be all twisted up. And this is very common. This is a very common problem you have with communism and socialism and fascism, those types of things. There's a lot of things that people talk about where the speaker means one thing and the listener means something else, and they're just talking past each other. I remember sitting in my office as a teacher's assistant, and another graduate student was sharing the office, and somebody from the John Birch Society just happened to be wandering through the faculty department, and he stuck his head in the door, whatever, I don't know why, and he started talking to us, and my colleague, he was talking about the professor that we were working for and the professor's work, and the professor was studying liberalism. Now, this was an international relations professor, and what liberalism meant in the context of international relations was, interventionism, basically. Liberalism as opposed to realism. Realism is just strictly national interest. Liberalism was, you got these principles that matter, principles of democracy, principles of this and that, and you will intervene, and that, so in engaging the rest of the world with your foreign policy, you are promoting not just national interest, but you're promoting principles. And so my colleague referred, he said, yes, our professor would say, Ronald Reagan is a liberal. Well, the guy from John Birch Society thought Ronald Reagan is a liberal because he's not adequately conservative in terms of, he wasn't thinking about foreign policy. He was thinking about not adequately conservative in terms of, racial issues or other things like that. They were talking past each other. And we get that all the time. So, ethnostate, the people using it, the younger right-wing or whatever nationalist people using it, weren't even clear on what the definition was. But the people who were hearing it, who were opposed, the people at the Huffington Post or whatever, who were hearing this discussion of the ethnostate, because you'd see this in debates, because this was the same time you had the blood sports, and you'd have debates. And our opponents, who would hear the term ethnostate, took that to mean 100% pure, ethnically pure state. So you'd have to, in order to achieve that ethnostate, you would have to physically remove or exterminate all non-white people. If you're talking about a white ethnostate, if you're talking about a British ethnostate, all non-British people. So that's what they were taking it to mean. And of course, that's not what was really meant, but the people using it weren't even clear about what it meant. Okay, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
It is done. That's what I say. Let the man rap the plan, say.
And we are right back. So, talking about the ethnostate, what did people who were using it meant? You know, I'm not trying to call out particular individuals, but, you know, if you heard various alt-right podcast, four or five years ago, you heard this term a lot. And what did the people using it mean? And there was, I was on Mark Collett's, for 2 years, I was on his podcast, whatever, his weekly podcast, which was called This Week in the Alt-Right, and then shortly before I left, it was rebranded as the Patriotic Weekly Review. But This Week in the Alt-Right, and so every week, there would be, somebody, sometimes well-known people, sometimes not so well-known people, who'd come on. So over the course of the 2 years, there was about 100 shows. There might have been a couple of people who came on twice, but I was on with almost 100 people, mostly young, not always young, but mostly these younger people. And often the ethnostate was the subject of conversation. And it just was very unclear what was being referred to, and that sometimes I would try to push clarification. And Mark Collett was always very level-headed, because he is. He's extremely level-headed. And he would say, look, you know, we're not talking about deporting everybody who's not white, but he had very specific things. He'd say, there are people, he thinks Britain is full of Muslims who, with the proper incentives, would decide to pursue their Muslim lifestyles in Muslim countries if they were, granted, say, a sum of money, £15,000 or whatever it was, a sum of money for each one, you know, for their family members to relocate. And, you know, they get back their foreign passports, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, whatever passports. And they could be incentivized to leave, and it wouldn't turn Britain into an all-white country. It wouldn't turn it into an all-English country, but it would turn it into a country where the nature, the ethnic nature, would be maintained, and that the state would be able to pursue the benefits of its own people, of the majority Briton people, not at the exclusion of other people, but just like Thailand. Thailand is probably only 70% Thai, but the Thai government pursues the interests of the Thai people. There are a lot of Chinese people and people from other minority groups who live there, and they do just fine there. But what you have in so do you call Thailand an ethno-state? You know, how does the definition work? So when people were using the ethno-state in the alt-right, it was unclear exactly what they were thinking. But when the Huffington Post people or when the critics of the alt-right would hear that term ethno-state, they immediately translated it into a pure ethno-state, meaning a pure state with no other ethnic groups in it. Therefore, there would be ethnic cleansing, there would be mass deportation, there would be genocide. That's the way they heard it. And that's why they would say, oh, their speech is violence. Speech is violence. This is what you would hear. When Richard Spencer would make a speech at a university, you'd have, I forgot the woman's name. There was some Filipino woman who would come and hit people. And your speech is violence, because that's what they were reading into it. And people needed to be clear with these definitions, and there really was a lack of clarity of what it meant. Now, on David Duke's show from this morning, he was with Mark Collett, and you can listen. That was actually a very excellent show. And David Duke addressed, he was addressing not the issue of the term ethnostate, but white supremacy, and he was reading from the Anti-Defamation League's website, their definition of white supremacy, what constitutes white supremacy. And, a few things from the definition, and you'll have to listen to the show to hear it. A few things from their definition is like, well, why wouldn't people honor their past or think that they, you know, their culture is a good culture, whatever. But a lot of it was just, you know, part of the definition was that white people should rule the world or dominate other people, types of things that David Duke is saying that nobody that he's had any association with, any person of any note in the white advocacy movement over the past 50 years that David Duke has been part of it, nobody calls for these things. So a lot of it is strawmanning, but strawmanning becomes easy when we are not being clear about what the definitions of words are. So I've been using ethnostate as one example. We're coming up towards the break, but on the other side of the break, you know, there are other things. What do we want? What is secession? We're going to have to start talking about what we want. We're going to have to talk about how, you know, what narratives, and narratives depend on definitions. People need to understand when we're trying to say what we think, we need to use language that is understood. It is understood as meaning what we intended to mean. All right, so we'll talk about that on the way back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Without a woman or a girl.
We are back. All right, so fake President Biden has moved into the White House, there is a unprecedented attack on white people, and they're not even using modifying terms for white, like, you know, white extremist or white supremacist. They're talking about white terror, not white supremacist terror, not white extremist terror, white terror. And we know that most white people, by any even any fake count, the substantial majority of white people voted for Donald Trump, and they're painting people who voted for Donald Trump as being potentially violent, potentially going to subvert our democracy, and we have to choose between our whiteness and our democracy, and democracy meaning rule by the Jewish-dominated media, the Jewish-dominated elite. That's what it means. Now, so there you got fake President Biden in the White House, and he's filling up a cabinet with a lot of Jews, although this General Austin is going to be he's the black Secretary of Defense, and I don't know all that much about him, but he's going on about the white threat, the white menace, and so you think, okay, well, they've got the White House, they've got the Pentagon, they've got the Congress, we're screwed. But you know, the thing is, and like, it's very easy to say, well, we've got the truth on our side, but they are on extremely. They have an extreme vulnerability in that, probably a majority of people think that they stole the election. Because even a lot of, like, polls are showing that even, what, like, one in three Democrats or one in five Democrats thinks the election was stolen. So a lot of people think the election is stolen. But then also, people saw what was going on with all this, the black violence last year. And then, based on what happened at the Capitol earlier this month, a lot of which a lot of people know was, you know, agent provocateurs. It was, yeah. I mean, when you got, like, this guy John Sullivan, who there's plenty of video of him circulating around making anti-white, anti-Trump speeches to a Black Lives Matter event. And then he's the one filming and being interviewed on CNN about what happened in the White House, I mean, in the Capitol building. So people are, their narrative is really precarious, that they won the election, that there's white terror. They're on very, very precarious ground. And you play dangerous games, you win dangerous prizes. So it's really unclear. Now, another thing is with the military. Okay, so they're putting this black general in as Secretary of Defense. Well, you've had, I mean, the generals tend to be pretty awful, right? I mean, I've talked about McChrystal on today's show. We've talked about Mathis. We've talked about Petraeus on other shows. The generals tend to be pretty awful. And even Flynn, when you get down to it, we didn't know much about Flynn other than that the Jewish establishment hated him and wanted him gone. So there must have been something good about him. But when you see the way he's been talking since he was pardoned a couple months ago, he sounds a lot like Lin Wood, doesn't he? He sounds kind of like QAnon. And I don't know, somebody at that top level, it's I don't know what to make of that. But yet, you know, in the military, lots and lots of people join the military. Lots of good, patriotic Americans join it because they want to think that they're serving their country. A lot of people join it for career. A lot of people join it for training or the GI Bill or you know, money or whatever. There's a lot of people who join, and people have a mixture of reasons, but a lot of people certainly want to think that they're serving their country. And I wasn't in the military, so it's hard for me to say what the attitude of people at different ranks in the military feel, but the idea that fake President Biden or fake President Chlamydia and black Defense Secretary Austin could use the military just to round up white people and put them in camps or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't see that happening. The military got in the practice of disregarding the president over the past 4 years. Right. So I just don't know about that. But what I do know is that we've got to I think we need to think about what our goals are. And so there's a lot of talk now about secession. Now, what I said on Stormfront this morning, and I think I've said in the past, is, you know, the thing is, we don't live in a regular country. And I'm not talking about American exceptionalism or whatever, but we live in a country that is the biggest military power in the world, that still has the biggest economy in the world. This country has massive power resources that have been built up by our forefathers and our people over the decades and centuries, over the centuries. Massive power resources. And the notion that you get more or less like-minded white people moving to Montana or Idaho or places like this and creating an ethno-state. This was always, I think, a not very well thought out idea. I could use other adjectives for it, but not a very smart idea. Because then what do you get? You get white people all concentrated. How many? Well, not all, because not a lot of people wouldn't move to that. But to the extent you have, to the extent that it could even happen, you'd have like a purely white country in a portion of, or not purely, but largely overwhelmingly white country in a part of the what is now the United States that would be relatively small, that would not have a whole lot of military bases, and could be just, and then you'd have a rump United States that would have effectively, you know, rid itself of its of enough whites so that clearly they're not the majority anymore. And it would be hostile to that newly found started state. And just like when Israel gave up on trying to digest and incorporate Gaza, and it pulled its settlers out, and then it just has spent the next 15 years bombing the hell out of that place. And that's not a future that we want. So, and the thing is that the United States is massively powerful, and not just for ourselves, but for the point of the sake of the world, to have to have a lot of white people who right now are in the, you know, right now white terror and the broadly defined white supremacists are the big boogeyman for whom? They are the big boogeyman for this Jewish-dominated elite that's very paranoid. And to have some sort of exodus of these people away from the United States, even if they take some land with them, you got a rump United States that is fully now in control without any scary domestic competitors, that's in full control of these massive power resources, military and otherwise. Well, I think that would be a very scary notion. I think it would lead to World War III, because with their domestic existential threat defeated, then they're going to be looking at Russia, they're going to be looking at China, and I think we'd be headed to World War III. I think it would be very, very irresponsible. What I think is our responsibility, because we're the only people who can do it, and I think the rest of the world can and could, should certainly, and could support sane people regaining control of our society. I think I don't think it's good for the world in general to have a superpower with a ruling class that looks at its own population as existential enemies. But this is what we have right now. And it's our responsibility to get back control of the country. And when I say get back control of the country, I'm not talking about punishing people or expelling people. I always think of the parent-child relationship, because there are children who have their parents completely wrapped around their finger. They manipulate their parents through their bad behavior. Parents maybe have ideas that you can't do this, you mustn't do that, or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you see this. You see this sometimes where the parents, the children have the parents completely wrapped around their fingers, completely manipulated. And that's what we are. And the answer for the parent isn't to beat the hell out of the kid, right? The parent is strong. And the parent can impose himself without beating the hell out of the kid. It might be the parent pick up the kid and put him into the child seat. Or just pick up the kid and we're going home, or we're doing this. And the parent has the ability to do this without violence. Parent of a toddler who's throwing a temper tantrum or whatever. We have the power. We have so much power. Regular people, regular Americans,
And that's not exclusively whites, but whites are the ones who are in the crosshairs. That's the thing. Whites are the ones who are in the crosshairs. But when you went to these Trump rallies, some of the rallies were largely Oriental, even majority Oriental. And honestly, an awful lot of Asians, whether they are, you know, like the Japanese tend to have been here for a few generations because there aren't a lot of recent Japanese immigrants, because why would you want to immigrate from Japan, which is a very nice place to live? Why would you? The only Japanese who come here now basically are like the wives of American men who maybe went to Japan and brought back a wife, or otherwise, you know, there are Japanese women who came to America basically looking for a husband because of issues going on in Japanese society. There's some of that, but you know, why would you come here? Koreans, even though Korea is a very nice place, the Koreans still come here largely because of side effects of the division of the Korean Peninsula, because you have universal conscription in South Korea, and who the heck wants to do that? So people come here as students, and then they get used to it and stay. There's certain things, but so you do have some Koreans. You're getting a fair number of Chinese immigrants because, well, there's 1.5 billion Chinese people. There's just an awful lot of Chinese people, and a lot of them are wealthy and wind up coming here. And a lot of them who aren't even wealthy wind up coming here and working in restaurants and whatever. But you have a lot of them. They actually are pretty assimilable when you get down to it, as long as they're in small enough numbers, and their numbers aren't that great right now. A lot of the Hispanics who have been here for a while are assimilable. You know, they're, but you know, the thing is they just keep coming in mass, and the more people you have, the harder they are to assimilate. And also the more people you have, the greater the consequences of assimilation, because assimilation, you can have cultural assimilation. You can also have genetic assimilation, and in small numbers, it doesn't matter. In huge numbers, it alters the nature of the ethnic group. But you know something? We have, at this point, over, you know, it's like 60% or 40% of this country is non-white. And at this point, you can't, if you're trying to look down 100 years and see what the country looks like, you know, you're not going to unmix the coffee, when the cream and the coffee. You can't, but you can stop pouring in new cream. And there's certain issues that you just got to let future generations deal with. But the issue that we have to deal with is that we have a paranoid Jewish an elite that is dominated by Jews, a Jewish dominated elite with a very paranoid outlook and a very paranoid disposition that sees a cohesive white majority in this country as an existential threat. This is what's becoming obvious. And we can take back control of this country because not only are we still the majority, although we're in some areas we're not the majority. We're not the majority among public school students. We're not the majority in maternity wards, at least in terms of the babies. But we are the majority in terms of getting the work done, in terms of doing the real work that keeps society moving along. We're the substantial majority. We're the substantial majority in terms of ownership of financial assets. You have to distinguish between ownership and control. What happens is we own assets like retirement accounts. But then those retirement accounts tend to be invested in funds, mutual funds or whatnot, retirement funds, that then wind up getting controlled by Jewish financial institutions. But, you know, we are also the majority in terms of consumers of so many products, producers and consumers. We actually are we do dominate the actual exchange and production and consumption of goods and services in this country. We we dominate in terms of producing and consuming and whatnot, the majority of what goes on. And we could, you know, well, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This is
a big party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And we are back, so I guess I'm going on my lecture. Some people might have heard me say this before, and I don't want to be too repetitive, but we could take down the media very easily by stopping, by boycotting it, formally or informally. And actually, you're seeing this happening. So look at the share prices of Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, which are plunging. Why are they plunging? Because people are leaving them. And you're seeing Fox News in particular, its ratings are falling through the floor, and they should fall through the floor. People have to stop watching, and they are stop watching. And now the response of the Jewish-dominated elite is to try to, well, you know, you got CNN, which is calling for cable companies to shut down or not to carry Newsmax, which isn't great. Or One America News. None of these are really great. None of these will say the things that you'll hear on RBN. And they're trying to shut down places like RBN too. this is really where the struggle is taking place. And two things have to happen. One is we have to support RBN or new genuine alternatives. And B, we have to withdraw support from the media companies or other companies that are working against us. And, you know, so I always talk about co-certified, and I talk about it often as a template for things that need to be done. Well, this is a time that things really need to be done. This is a time where we've got to be able to communicate with each other, and we have to start boycotting companies left and right, leaving companies, boycotting companies. We have to do these things. Now, as for, there's only a couple minutes left, but we'll be talking about this a lot. As for secession, it's, you know, we don't want to jump the gun on it, but we want to start talking about it in reasonable terms. So I think the thing, if you had, because I know you have movements in Texas and in some other states where legislators are talking about secession, and where you've got these movements, the next step, rather than just declaring some sort of independence all of a sudden, would be to have coordination between states where you have these movements, where you're going to have conferences, where they're going to say, "This, we have this list of demands, and if we can't get election reforms, if we can't outlaw mail-in balloting, if we can't respect Second Amendment rights and First Amendment rights, if we have this list of demands, and if we don't get this list of demands, these states are going to form a different union." But you have to form, that's only viable if the union that you form is going to have enough power resources. So if all the military bases are in the rump United States or the most military assets, that's not very good. But if you're talking about states that have a lot of the military assets, the hard assets that can't be moved, right? You're talking about missile silos, you're talking about army bases, you're talking about things like that. Then you've got much better bargaining hand. And so this is where we're at now. And the presidential election was stolen. Does that mean any election can be stolen? Actually, it doesn't. It means presidential elections can be stolen. It means talking about the 2024 presidential election as how we get things back is not really viable. But I do think looking at state and local elections and organizing for that, I think petition drives to recall governors in Arizona and Georgia, governors and secretaries of states and others, the Republican governors in particular, attacking the Republican Party, I think is good. Taking over the Republican Party, or if you could take it over, fine, through primaries. But attacking and punishing the Republicans that have been collaborating, that's important. All right. We'll talk about more next week. Mark Collett will be back on Monday. And I'll be back again with more exciting episodes of National Legal Radio. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.